Good morning and welcome to Faith Church. For those watching online, welcome in, amen. And to those in the house, so good to see all of you, wonderful people of God, amen. Tell somebody he's talking to you. Let's turn our Bibles over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this morning, I'm going to call this message, The Road to Glory. The Road to Glory. Listen, situations doesn't change who God is. Situations don't change our praises. Situations can't contain God. Listen, we got to praise God in storms and watch God walk on our storms. And he said he has given us power to trample. Listen, man, we got to trample some things. They that know their God shall be what? Strong. I said they that know their God, they shall be what? Come on, they shall be what? Let me see any strong people in the house this morning. Listen, the Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will come into his courts with praise. I will be thankful unto him, and I'm going to bless his name. For the Lord, he is. For the Lord, he is. For the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And he's our very present help in when? Times of trouble. What kind of help? What kind of help? He is the present help. That means he does not miss a situation. Oh, come on. I said he does not miss a situation. Because Psalm 121 says, oh God, my God neither slumbers nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade. Upon my right hand, the sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. He shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth. And even forevermore, somebody need to read your Bible. Somebody need to understand promises. Somebody need to learn the word of God so that you might be able to stand. Stand. Not when times are good you need to stand. When times are good you dance. When times are good, you dance. But when times get hard, you got to know the word of God that you might be able to. Yeah. Having done all but. Yeah. Only those who know God will stay standing. Yeah. Especially in the times we're living in. Only those who know their God will be able to stand. Because the Bible says in the last days, man's heart will fear them for fear. For fear, not nothing. Looking what is coming on the earth. Church, it is time when you go home, you don't think only what movie you're going to watch. Watch a movie, not against movies. I hope somebody will become a movie producer in the church. And produce good quality movies that people can sit and enjoy. But don't only worry about your movies. But get yourself a Bible. Purchase a Bible. You will need a Bible. Purchase a Bible in the store on your way out. Get yourself a Bible. And go home and read and mark it up. Mark it up. Put notes all over your Bible. So that when you look on it, when God gives you a revelation or he speaks something to you, you put a mark in there. So the next time you might be going through something and you flip through the word of God, your eyes will land on it and it will put faith in your spirit. Every child of God needs a Bible that you may be able to go through and ponder on the word of God. Hallelujah. Turn over. 1 Samuel 17. We got to know the word of God. The Bible says we ought to meditate on the word of God. Meaning like a cow. You need to chew it in your cud over and over and over. You know the cow does not swallow the moment he eats. He swallow, he bring it back, he chewing it over and over. It sounds nasty, but it does good for him. It is the same way we are to meditate on the word of God over and over, because the Bible says his word is alive, meaning this word does not pass away. It does not change. It does not die. It is not powerless. It is a First Samuel 17. And it says, verse 16. And the Philistines drew near. The Philistine drew near and what? He presented who? He presented himself. You remember another time somebody presented himself? When the sons of God came, who showed up? The devil showed up and he presented himself before God. I got news for you. The enemy will present himself in your life. Giants are going to present themselves in your life. On a daily basis, the enemy will present himself, because the Bible says he is like a roaming lion and he walks about. So if he walks about, that means that there is opportunity, or there's possibility rather, that he may show up in your situation on a daily basis. But mighty God, it says here, how many times he presented himself for what? 40 days. 40 days is a big important day. Jesus fasted how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. The man fasted. He was man. Although he was God in the flesh, he was still man. He was the God man. Put some volume in the house. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. We fast 12 hours a day and we're about to die. If you don't get breakfast, you feel like you're going to kaput. But the Bible says, how many days Jesus fasted? And then the Bible says, and after that, he went forth in the power of the Spirit. Who presented himself right after? The devil. The enemy will always present himself. But they that know their God, they that what? What did we speak about last Sunday? Knowledge. Knowledge, church. If we will become sharp in the word and have God, understanding of God, we will be able to stand and we will be victorious. So, the Philistine, which is, we know him, Goliath, drew near and presented himself, how many days? 40 days. Morning and evening. Imagine that, right? He's there in the morning, comes and taunts them, and in the afternoon he taunts them. But look at this. Hallelujah. Then Jesse said, and I find it remarkable that at this moment, the writer paused, and he did not say the army went out to fight. God is looking for somebody that he can send. Look what happens here. And Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephod of this dry grain and these 10 loaves. And what? And what? Don't drag your feet. Run. God is looking for runners in this season. People that will get excited about what God is up to. And not just attend church on a Sunday, go back home, sit up on your tushy, and it's getting heavier, and you're wondering why? Because you're not running. God is looking for runners. People that will say, I must be busy like Jesus was about the business of God. All right. He said what? Run. He said, run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to who? Mind that. He didn't say take the cheese to the brother. He said give the brother grain. Give them dry grain. and what? Loaves. But he said to the one in charge, give him the fat. That's a principle that we lack in the church. Let me go there. We bypass leadership in the church. We do not take care of leaders the way we ought to. We bypass leaders in the house. And we're only looking to take care of the downtrodden. I'm here to tell you, your blessing is locked up in the leader. And carry these 10 cheese to the captain of their thousands and see how your brothers fear. And bring back what? News of them. Then Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley and of Elah fighting. What were they doing? What were they doing? Fighting with the Philistines. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to speak to us this morning. We thank you that you're going to just move in and through us, oh God, and you're going to just speak to us. We want to hear your voice this morning. We don't want to leave the same way we came. We want to move from glory to glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This sermon is called The Road to Glory. And when we hear of the word glory, it represents promotion. It represents elevation. It represents a lifting from where you are to where God wants to take you. It represents honor. The road to glory, we all know David, at this point, he was already anointed to be king. He was, the throne was his. The throne was his because he was anointed by who? By the prophet. The prophet went down to the house of Jesse and he anointed David to become king. I find it amazing that the one that is anointed to be king is the one that is working the hardest. The one that is destined to reign and destined to be honored is the one that is working nonstop. How do we know that? When Jesse called David, he called him out to the sheepfold. And he said, come here, boy. Take these things. Go to your brother. Take this food. See how they are faring. Look what he did next. Verse 20 says, and David rose early in the morning. What he did? He rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. You might say, oh, I'm anointed to be king. You don't order me around. I want to tell you, the first step to glory is obedience. Write it down. The first step to glory is obedience. It's being ready to serve. The Bible said, they that are willing and obedient, they shall what? Eat the good or eat the fat. Eat the best of the land. Willing and obedient. In the text, we do not see that David says, oh, come on, Dad. Why don't I send one of the servants? Why don't I send one of my assistants? Why don't you seek out one of your servants? Now, Jesse was not a poor man. Because Jesse came from the lineage of Boaz. So he was a rich man. He was a man of influence and a man of authority. He was a man that had a lot because he didn't only send bread and grains, he sent cheese. He had fat available or the things that are well tasting to the mouth. But he said to David, David, come and go and take this to your brothers. And we do not see that David says, no, Dad, I am busy with the sheep. No, Dad, I cannot do it because my day is already full. My calendar is full. The Bible says, no, he rose up early. He was willing and he was obedient. If you want to be great in God, it will take obedience. If you want to ever become anything in the kingdom of God, you must be a servant. The word of God says, the greatest among you shall be the chief servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must be what? The servant of all. The servant of all. So David's reaction to the commandment, anointed to be king, he forgot about that. He said, I didn't get to the throne yet. Nobody put any crown on my head. The elders did not commission me as yet. So I continue to humble myself where God has placed me. Sometimes we're trying to run ahead of God. You go to a new job and you got a boss, and the boss try to tell you to do A, B, and C. You're like, no, boss, I want to do D, E, and F. I want to do J and H. I want to do some more advanced things. But the Bible said, they that are faithful in little shall be ruler over much. If you could be well at what you have now, God has a time and a place when he will promote you. But you have to be willing and obedient in the state where you are right now. Even though there's oil on your head and you look greasy and you're shining, submit yourself to the elders and those who have rule over you. The road to glory takes obedience. The road to glory takes obedience. Almighty God, if Peter was not obedient, we would have never known his name. When Jesus said to him, boy, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. No, we would have never read that the shadow of Peter could have healed the sick. We would have never read that though Peter walked on water like the Lord. We would have never read that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost when others were probably afraid. No, it was his instant of obedience. It all begins with obedience. In the world, it may begin with your degree, but in the church, it begins with obedience. Oh, hallelujah. Church is quiet. But it begins with obedience. The road to glory begins with obedience. The best child is often the child that is the obedient child. The obedient child. Now God has a way of turning evil around for good and showing mercy to the hard neck and the bad one and the one that messed up things in the home, just like the prodigal. But do you remember in the prodigal son, which is a good story of restoration and turnaround, he did not get everything. The boy that was obedient and stayed in the house, the father said, boy, shut up. Don't pick her over crumbs, over a ring, over a robe, and over a fat calf. He said, all that I have belongs to you. Yeah. Obedience. Yeah. Obedience is not only yes. Obedience takes action. Yeah. Peter could have, the night before, say, yes, Dad, I'm going to go in the morning. I never went, and not Peter, David. He could have said, Daddy, I'm going, don't worry. Yeah. And then over in the night, he processed it and say, I'm not going anywhere. Who does this old man think he is? Trying to tell me what to do, how to do, when to do. Don't he know I got my stuff to do? Hey, man, I got them sheep to care for. I got the people in the jungle or in the pasture, rather. I got my boys waiting on me out there. No! The Bible said he got up early. And he got going early. So with obedience, there is action. Don't just say, I am willing, I am willing and I'm obedient. No, get to action. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You got to put some works to your faith. You got to put some action to your faith. Don't just only pray, do something. Get moving. Don't just pray at home. Get to church. Get with the worshipers. Don't just pray, put some action. David got up and he got moving. This is a lesson for all of us. The early morning, there is something about the early morning. Hey, a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this, we like to sleep late. But God is saying you got to get up early and get going. Amen. It doesn't matter if I got a job to go at 4 a.m. You better believe I am there at 4 a.m. Sometimes even 3:55, I am there ready to pick up the job. No matter what it takes, you got to put some work. You got to put some action to your faith. So what David did, he was obedient, but he wasn't just only obedient and willing. He got moving. He what? He got moving. You got to be willing to serve. He was going to go serve his brothers. And you know, sometimes God will have you to serve even your enemies. You got to be willing to serve your enemies. How do we know? Just listen, whenever you're in your family and you're destined for greatness, do not expect your siblings to like you. Do not expect your siblings to like you. Do not expect the own people in your home to embrace you. Didn't David say in the book of Psalms, I think it was, what was that? Psalm 55. He said, man, if you were a stranger, I would understand, but you were my brother. We walked to the house of God together. Listen, sometimes even people in the church will stab you in the back. So don't tell me you're not prepared. I'm preparing you right now. So in case a brother or sister stabs you in the back, you will not be surprised. Sometimes we get caught off guard and we act like, how can they do this to me? Oh my God. After all I've done for them. No. Look here, let me show you. How do we know this happens? Get down to verse 28. Verse 28 says, now Eliab is what? The oldest brother. Who is he? Oh, good. So he got some authority, right? Often the oldest person in the home, we respect them, we honor them, because the weight of the family tends to fall on the eldest, right? But sometimes these days it's different, where the oldest don't want to carry their weight, so somebody else. But here, Eliab said his oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men. And look what he did. Eliab... Oh my God. Eliab's anger was what? Aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? He said, then why have you come down here? You know, sometimes we got to be careful how we respond to people's presence. Because the people that were meant to be a blessing to us, we reject them. With the way we respond to them. The person who was bringing your miracle, you're responding to them in such a bitter reaction and with such anger and mighty God, and not caring and valuing their presence. We ought to be mindful, because the Spirit of God says, be careful, you might be entertaining angels. So here Eliab is saying, what you doing here, boy? Not knowing it was a hand that came to feed him. Often when you go to feed people, they turn around and bite you. But David was not fazed. Look at this. He said, why did you come down here? And look here now. And with whom have you left those few sheep? You know what he's doing there? He's talking down to David. He said, oh, you good for nothing, little ruddy looking little boy. You see, number one, they had reason to hate David. Number one, he was anointed. And do you know who was passed up? Let's go over to 16 verse 6. So it was, when they came, this is Samuel and the elders coming to the house of Jesse, that they looked at who? Where's your Bible? They looked at who? Eliab, or I say Eliab. It's Eliab, right? They looked at Eliab, and look what it says. Samuel said, surely, or maybe the prophets, they all said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Well, look what the Lord says. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. Because I have what? Refused him. So the man had reason to be bitter. The man had reason to hear David, because he got passed up. Because, you know, when someone think you're the one that's going to be anointed, they're going to look at you and, oh yes, here he comes. Oh yes, he's well built like Saul. Saul was above everyone else. Yeah, he looks really kingly. He looks like he can wear a crown really nice. He got that big head. You know, he got that nice shoulders to wear the robe. Yeah, yeah, people's going to respect him. And then the voice of the Lord says, Samuel, I have rejected him. And then everybody goes like, oh no, wrong one. We are judging on the outside. Look what God, look what it says. I have rejected, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the what? Outward appearance. Do you know I look at the outward appearance too? Yeah. When somebody come in and give me a nice smile, I go, hi, nice. But if you come with an ugly face, I'm like, what's wrong with you? But sometimes you come with your nice smile and God says, don't be confused by the smile. There's a dirty, rotten, disgusting piece of sewer in there. Yeah. Man looks at that. Outside, God looks at the heart. Tell somebody, check your heart, because that is what God cares about. So Eliab had reason to hear David, because imagine, he's in battle, he's supposed to be the big, tall, strong one in the battle, and here comes little sheep boy David. The sheep man shows up with probably wool in his hair because he didn't bathe the night before. Because he had to get out early. Right? He said, what did you do with those few sheep? I want to show you. One next point is be a good steward. Write this down. Be, the road to glory takes stewardship. The road to glory takes stewardship. Let me show you how David was a good steward. Go back up. It says he arose early and left the sheep. Verse 20. And left the sheep with a keeper. There's the answer. Eliab thought he could have talked down to the man, but the man was a man of wisdom. God looked at his heart, and God saw in his heart he cared for sheep. Sheep is a test of what you would do with people. Sheep is a test of what you would do with people. God looked in his heart, and he saw, this is a man that I can trust, because he's not going to leave the sheep as an open target. He took the sheep and he says, hey boys, come on over here. You are the keeper. Watch over the sheep. I am going on an assignment, not on a trip. Or I'm not just going leisure. Or maybe even if he went for leisure, he would take care of the sheep first. But he said, I am on an assignment from my daddy. And I want you to watch the sheep. If the bear comes, defend the sheep. If the lion comes, defend the sheep. Because you know how I would defend the sheep. I would take on my sling and I would sling stones at the sheep. I would hook the bear and the lion, and I would pull the sheep out of their mouth. So you are a kind of mind. You know, everything brings forth of his kind. So if we, the shepherds in this house, you have to look like your shepherd. You have to care for the sheep like your shepherd cared for the sheep. This morning we heard somebody in the hospital. What we did? We flew over there and we prayed for her. Everything brings forth of its kind. So he did not leave the sheep open. So there's his answer. Number one, he got passed up. Number two, he's running his mouth. Number three, here's your answer. You want to know what I did with the sheep? I left the sheep with that keeper. Okay. What did you do with those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride. I know your what? And I know the insolence of your heart. For you have come down to see the battle. Sometimes your confidence will be misunderstood. His brother thought that he was proud at heart, but all he was confident in there in his God. The Bible, then the word said that they that know their God, they shall be strong. The reason most of us walk around weak is because we do not have a revelation of who God is. We do not have the revelation that greater is he that is in me, and more are they that are with me than those who are against me. Listen, the book of Hebrews said, Hebrews 10, he said, we have not come to Mount Zion with fire and brimstone. No, we have come, oh Jesus, we have come where? We've come to Zion. With myriads of angels, meaning you cannot count the angels that surround you. So you don't need to fear. You don't need to walk around with your head down. You walk around with your head up. We have not come to Mount Zion where there is, oh my God, outward expressions, Mount Zion, but we've come to Mount Zion. You didn't come to Sinai. Sinai was where? Who went? Moses went. He got the law. Only the priest could have went into the Holy of Holies. But today, by the blood of Jesus, we walk into the Holy of Holies. Boldly, we can go before our daddy, not thinking we are equal to him, but in full subjection and in full almighty God. With a humble heart, we walk into the presence of God. Remember last week we spoke about having awe for God. We have to have awe. We must be amazed of the fact that we have opportunity to talk to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, not of good that we have done. We must be strong in the Lord. He said, I know that you're just a little troublemaker, little boy, and you like to see fair play. But he said to him, no, I just know who my God is. So you must be willing even to serve your enemies. Didn't Jesus say to us, love your enemies, do good to them who what? Hate you. The road to glory, the road to your promotion, the enemy will be on the path walking with you. But you must know when to feed your enemy, and you must also know when to cut from your enemies. There's going to come a time your enemy is going to walk with you, and you need to give them bread and you need to give them water to keep them going. Because when they think they're going to work against you, God will turn the evil around for good, and they're going to help you all the way to the top. So he talked down to him, and he's trying to disrespect him, and also he was trying to distract him from what God purposed for him. The enemy comes to distract you because the enemy knows that he cannot stop you. That's why the Bible says we must know his wiles. We are not ignorant of his wiles. When the enemy sees you, he sees the whole army of heaven behind you. The problem is we do not see it. We do not see who we are. We do not have a proper understanding of who we are. We're not just in this world. No, we are in Christ. We are in Christ first, and then we're in this world. Because he says you're not of this world. So hello, only if you're in Christ, you're not of the world. So first you are in Christ, and then God place you here. So you get born again into what? The kingdom of God. All things are passed away. All things becomes new. So why, you see, sometimes it's hard for us to grasp what God has done for us. And what a beautiful position we are in as children of God. Because of all that happens around us. But when you're on your road to glory, the enemy will be right there. And your enemies are not there to weaken you if you would feed from the right source. Often we get distracted and we go over to the enemy's side without realizing it. How? David did not react to Eliab. He did not allow Eliab to distract him from his destiny. When we engage the enemy, then the Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. When the devil is using people and we decide to join into the distraction, and we decide to go lower and lower and lower, we're becoming less and less of who God has made us to be. Didn't he say, I have given you power to trample upon? Not to go in and meddle with. But to trample upon. So whenever the enemy comes out with his fangs, you just rebuke him. You do not engage. You be a good steward. So when the enemy goes like, I wonder what you did with those sheep. And the enemy check it out. The enemy goes like, ugh. This boy is smart. Didn't the word of God says that we ought to be sober? And one of the meaning of the word sober is to be smart. Be sober and vigilant. Because your adversary is like a Roman lion. He's out. He is out. So he's going to use whoever he's going to use. Whoever is at his disposal. He's going to use them. Because we know what the devil will come to. Steal, kill, and destroy, or use, abuse, and then refuse. All right, let's move. Remember, be a good steward so that there would be no reproach. Be a good steward so no one could point their finger in your face. What it means to be a good steward is to take good care of what God has entrusted into your hand. Take good care with what God, if you be faithful with little, God can then trust you in much. But if you mess up the little, there's no hope for you. Why? How can we prove that? What did he say to the servant that had the one talent? He says, you wicked servant. Wicked servant. He cast him into outer darkness. Into outer darkness, meaning there's no hope for you if you're not going to be good with what you have. We all want a lot, but God is saying, I have given you 2 children. I have given you 3 children. I have given you 4 children. Be a good parent. Don't try to parent the world. Start parenting in your own house. I've given you a beginning position at your job. Don't wait till you're going to become a manager. No. Be faithful right where you are. He was a good steward of the sheep. When the lion and the bear came, he defended the sheep. He didn't wait until he was ready to defend an army to start fighting. No, he started to fight right where he was. Was there witnesses? Yes. The keepers of the sheep were there. They saw it. They knew of his skills. Shepherds don't work alone. Shepherds do not work alone. They have assistants that are there with them to help them take care of the sheep. Why do you think we have so many pastors and ministers and deacons? Because this shepherd can't do the work alone. So all of you aspire to become great in the kingdom of God and get involved. Amen? Yes. Be a good steward. Do not forsake your responsibilities. Take your responsibilities serious. Even the supplies. He did not leave his supplies out in the open. Verse 22. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army. And came and greeted his brothers. Now let's talk about the supplies. When he went to go see his brothers, he didn't go alone again. He did not go alone. He had people with him. So he left the supplies that he came with. And he says, hold on to this. Or maybe he pulled up at the barracks and he left the supply with the guy at the gate that he checked in with. And he said, hold on to these items. Let me go and see what is happening in the battlefield. He said, hold this, I'll be back. Whatever God has put into your hands, be a good steward of it. Whatever little money you have, carry it. Do not put it out that people could steal it. And then you say, oh, they're thieves. You leave your stuff all over the place. God bless you with a nice watch. You're not carrying it. You're leaving it all over the place. You go to the store, you leave your stuff anywhere. And then when somebody picks it up, you go like, oh my God, these people are terrible. Isn't that true? Yes. You leave your car. Look at this. I see this so often. People leave their car running with their keys inside. And then they call the police. Oh my God, they stole my car. No. You created opportunity for the enemy to walk in. Isn't he roaming around seeking whom he may devour? Be a good steward of what you have. You're saying, oh, my kids dress so terrible that you take them to the mall and you buy them the stuff. Look at all these kids walking around half naked. Do you know parents bought the stuff for them? Let me help you, church. Be a good steward of your kids. Because they don't belong to you. They're a heritage of God. They come from the Lord. They actually belong to the Lord. So, whatever you have, be a good steward of it. The road to glory takes stewardship. We had a small church. 2 years ago, we had a little tiny church. But what we did, we showed up faithfully. We sing, we praise God, we worship and preach. When we didn't have no screen, guess what we did? We made designs. Go watch all the old YouTube stuff. It's all up there. We make designs and we put it. One time we had Jesus in foam and we put lights on it so it could look nice. Then when we're done, we took that out, we put LEDs all over the wall. Today, God, because we were faithful with little. We were faithful with little. When we go to Bible study, I'm driving from Queens to come to Bible study with Bishop and his only Sister Pam there. And if lucky, Sister Masters come. You understand? But what were we? A good steward. You have to steward what you have. Don't wait till, oh, when I get a big church, there's going to be praise and worship. And oh, it's going to be fabulous. No. Many of us say, oh, when we get the big house. But yet you can't clean the little apartment that God has given to you. When I get my mansion, I'm going to pull up irks, my big car. And God is saying, take care of what you have. Start where you are. It's your, yeah, I drive my minivan. I put new tires on it yesterday. I didn't wait for it to puncture. You stored what you have. Because if you could trust me a little, greater shall be added. To those who have, not to those who deplete, but to those who have, more will be added. You get that? To those who have and are good steward of what they have, God promised more shall be added. And you know when God adds, he adds good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, meaning the thing well round. You know when you're packing a barrel to send home, you rock it, you shake it, nothing can breathe in there. If a rat goes in there saying he's going to eat his way to Guyana, he's dead in the first day. Pressure going to either kill him or lack of oxygen. Be a good steward. The road to glory takes stewardship. Your finances. God bless you with a little. Don't wait. You say, oh man, when I win the lotto, I'm going to give all my tithes. I'm going to even buy a church building. When I graduate from college, oh, I'm going to give my first fruit. Big first fruit. No. God is saying right where you are, start honoring him with your tithes and your offerings. 10% of what you make belongs to God. It never said how much. All it said was 10%. 10% of 100 is 10. 10% still when you make 1,000, 100. Still 10%. It doesn't increase. God is so considerate. When he say put me first, all he asks is for the first tenth. So make sure. Steward your finances. Be like David. Don't leave your money. You know why? When you do not tithe, you don't break the back of the devourer. The devourer is still coming after your money. But when you tithe, Malachi 3 says, I break the back of the demon that eats your money. You understand what happens? The demon that eats money turns crippled when you give just 10%. That is God's system. Don't we all love God? Let me see who loves him. Praise God. Make sure you tithe. If you love him, you're going to tithe. And you're going to give your offerings. Amen? Good. So be a good steward. Make sure. Don't let the demon creep up and eat out what God wants to bless you with and cause you to enjoy, man. God said we'll eat the good of the land. But you know there's some families you're wondering why you can't move ahead. It's because we refuse to obey the principles that God has set in place. We got to obey principles. Principles are above laws. Amen? Good. So be a good steward. So the rod, the glory takes being a good steward. Now, I'm going to tell you the next one. There will be giants in your way. There will be giants in your way. You think the enemy was bad? That's just a joke. Wait till you meet the giant. Not only enemies, you know the little hyenas? You're going to find the hyenas on your way. But there is actually bigger giants to slay. Let's look at the giant. Verse 26. So, verse 16 tells us that the Philistine, which is Goliath, right? Goliath came in the morning and he came at night and he presented himself. Now, David pulled up where the boys were in the valley of Elah. He pulled up there. He says to the supply man, hold my stuff. Let me go see what's going on. David got and he heard the news that Goliath has been taunting them for 40 days, day and night. Day and night. The moment you obey instructions, you are on the path to glory. David got moving. He got to where the battle was. He saw what was happening. He now takes a look and he scopes out the giant. But before he gets to the giant, the men says to him, whoever kills this man, whoever kills this man, there's a reward. I want to tell you, whenever you face your giants and you slay your giants, there are rewards. And in this situation, the reward was, you're going to get the king's daughter. That means you're going to get hooked up with royalty. You're going to be sitting in a royal place. Yet David was not going to be watching sheep anymore. He was going to be lounging. So he said to the man, tell me again, what is the reward for the man that kills Goliath? And then they told him, not only will you get the king's daughter, which is a good portion, but he said your family will be exempt from taxes. Do you know why they hated Matthew? Because he was a tax collector. Nobody likes the IRS. Only time you like them is when you get your refund. If you get a refund, oh, hallelujah. But if you know, if you have to pay back, you're like, whole year I'm paying taxes and I still got to pay back. If you're paying back, you better give God praise, glory, and honor. That means God has put you in a fertile place. Sometimes the things that we should be counting as blessings, we grumble and we murmur. And if you're not paying back now, expect to pay back. I'm trying to pull you guys up, church. I'm trying to pull you guys up. You know why? When you pay back, that means you're making more. You're making plenty. So when we hear the rich man paying back 10 million, 50 million, you know how much he made? 100 million. You understand that? You understand that, my man? So don't feel bad if you got to pay back 6,000. That means you did good for the year. Get revelation. Change your mindset. You're on the road to glory. As a man thinketh, so is he. Man, when it's time to pay back, say, okay, when I get it, I'm going to pay you guys. Don't worry. I'll give you your money. You understand? But don't grumble over it. Be grateful. Amen? Good. So he got there and he heard that, oh, you're going to get married to the daughter and your family will not be paying taxes. But you know what that was? David was saying, if I can kill this man, I will be a blessing to my family. Every person that is sitting in this room should desire to be a blessing to your family. Let me tell you why. You know, sometimes we give to people outside of our homes very easily. But the moment your family calls you, and I'm guilty, and they ask you for something, you say, again? They're always calling me. They always. But if they were dead, they would have been crying. And if you had to go to a funeral, you would find the money, come hook or crook to bury them. Yeah. And to show up and make sure you send them off in fine style. Best suit, best. But they're asking you just to buy them a little something. Sometimes food. Sometimes things are bad overseas. And they say, can you send me a little something so I could do something? You know, let's change our mindset. Amen? Let's change our mindset. So God wants us. He said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. You know, they said, at the top it is lonely. I heard a pastor preaching yesterday and he said, you know, I met a pastor. He's talking about another pastor. He said, and this pastor is bored because he is so rich. He's so tired of driving good cars. He's so tired of wearing the best suit. He's lost his fire. He has lost his desire to pray. He has lost the power of the Holy Ghost. And he's now bored because what? We know the things of this world cannot satisfy. It is all temporary. So whenever you become blessed, the next step is to become a blessing. The rich man got blessed and he built himself barns. And he said, I'm going to extend my barns and I'm going to say to my soul, it is well with you. And God said, you fool. Because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Meaning, when you're so cumbered by things, it takes the place of God. Because if God is not first, he is none at all. So that rich man was void of God. So now, whenever you get blessed, church, seek to be a blessing. David got excited when he heard his family didn't have to pay no taxes. He's like, oh man, I'm going to be the one in my house that will be a blessing to my father's house. But what? Let's go down. Let's read 25. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who have come up? Surely he has come to what? Defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with what kind of riches? Great riches. Will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." But look at David's response. All of that is good. All of that is great. But remember, God looks at the heart. Eli would have probably ran with just that and ran out to battle and fought. But God saw in David's heart that his agenda, his drive, his passion, and his zeal was to reveal God to a nation. On the road to glory, do not forget your purpose. The Bible said the whole purpose and the whole duty of man is to first fear God and then keep his commandments. Keep God in first place. Look at David's response. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?" He was surprised, like, what? But look what's next. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Now he's going into the spiritual realm. He then strips. He strips the giant. It is all about how you see the giant in your life. It is all about how you see your giant. You might be unemployed today, and that is the only thing that's clouding you. What you need to do is to remember the word of God. He said, "If I took care of the sparrow, how much more would I not take care of you?" Bring the giant down. Cut the giant down to size before you even get moving. I'll say it again. Cut the giants down to size before you even get moving. Let's go quickly. Time is on us. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" He's saying, this man here is not clothed in righteousness. This man is just a common man, because the circumcision was a sign that you are in the covenant of blood. You are under the blood. Right, that's what it was. The circumcision was the spilling of the blood as a sign of what was to come. Circumcision does not save, only the blood of Jesus saved. But at that point, that was what they had. We are now in a better covenant. Amen? Now he says, "Who is this common thing? Uncircumcised Philistine, that he should what? Defy the armies of the living God." He didn't look at him that he's coming to fight man. He says, "You are not only defying man, you are standing in the presence of God and the nation that God has built and the nation that he brought through the Red Sea, the people that he delivered who were in bondage and they cried out and God heard their voice and he delivered them. And mighty God, you're going to come and stand before the army of the living God and shake yourself and say, send me a man." But he said, "Here, you come to me with your sword and with your spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." That not the God that has a host of men. He said, "No, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the one that rides on the chariots of fire, the one that leads the angels into battles, the one that commands them, and every man Jack is brought down low." He says, "You want circumcised. No matter what comes up in your life, the giants will present themselves. And for some of us, what you might see as a giant, you may not see it as a giant. What you might see as a giant, he may not see as a giant. But whatever giant stands in your way, I want you to stand, not in your own strength. Be like Joshua, only be strong and courageous, for the Lord will fight your battle. He said, like I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And David said, I'm not coming to you with a sword, and I'm not coming to you with a shield, and I'm not wearing Saul's armor. Saul took me, put the armor on me. The armor couldn't work because it wasn't proven. But what I have proven is when I come in the name of the Lord, every single time, just like the lion and just like the bear, you uncircumcised Philistine, you are going down. So David walks up to him. Because what he did, he sized Goliath down. He didn't size him up. Sized him down. Sometimes we size up our giants and we go to fight them at their level. But you need to stare at your giants and bring them down. Bring them down. Because the giant belongs where? He said, I've given you power to trample. Don't stare at the giant and try to fight the giant. No! Go in the name of the Lord. David testifies before Saul. He gives Saul some testimony. He says, Saul, I did it to the bear and I did it to the lion. I did it to them. And I want to show you something. But David said to Saul, your servant, he used to keep his father's sheep. And when the lion and the bear came, what he did, he took a lamb from the flock. I went out after it. I struck it. Now, watch here. The lamb did not die in the process. The victory was not the fact that he killed the lion and the bear, but the victory was he delivered the sheep. Sometimes we get so caught up with results, and we forget purpose. The reason you went after the giant, which was the bear in that moment, and the lion, was for the lamb. You didn't go there to show that you could kill. You went to deliver. I want to say to you, God is raising up an army of deliverers. People that will go and snatch people out of the jaws of that almighty God. People that the enemy thought he was going to destroy, we are showing up in fear and we're bringing them out one by one, one by one, one by one, one by one. One shall put 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight. Go deliver somebody, man. Don't live life for yourself. Mighty God. He said, I took the lamb out. And he says, who is this? And now he says in 36, your servant. On the road to glory, there must be humility. On the road to glory, there must be humility. Always understand whose presence you're in. Always understand whose presence you're in. One of the struggles of society today, nobody says Mr. and Mrs. anymore. Nobody says ma'am or mister or sir, rather. Everybody, if your name is John, you're just John. I have a neighbor who's in his 60s. I call him Mr. Jules. He sees me, he says, Sam, my name is not Mr. Jules. My name is Jules. He says, no, you're Mr. Jules because you are my senior. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Lifting, you do not have to lift yourself in the kingdom of God. Too many of us try to lift ourselves. And we want to seem more important than we are. The word of God says, do not think yourself, I don't have the scripture, more important than you are. When David got into the presence of Saul, he was in the king's court. Now God had already rejected him. You know that? God, at this point, God had already rejected Saul, but yet he was king. He was still in authority. That was for an appointed time. It was in the spirit, but it had not manifested in the natural yet. So David shows up. The man that is anointed is calling. The one that is rejected, your servant. Do not overstep boundaries. When you're at your workplace and your boss walks in the room, treat him a special way. Hello? When your mother and your father show up in the room, you acknowledge them. Let me show you a scripture. Same chapter. Go back. I'm helping you this morning, church. We're not leaving it the same way. 22. It says, and David left the supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and what? Greeted his brothers. What he did? He greeted his brothers. He showed up and he said, good morning, Eliab. Whatever the other ones' names were, what was them? Eight of them? He was number eight, I believe. He greeted everyone that was on the front line. Sometimes we ignore. We walk and we see and we act like we don't see. And we do not acknowledge who God has set over us. Some of you see me on the street and you turn your face. You're like, I don't want pastor to see me today. You see a elder brother or sister in the church, my ex in the supermarket, you're like, oh God, she didn't see me. I'm going to the next aisle. No! Be honorable, man. Have some respect. Respect your elders. The Bible says, honor, honor. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to understand authority. So he says to Saul, he testifies to Saul, and he didn't say, oh, Saul, when I was in the fields, I did this. He said, no, your servant. When he was in the field and the bear and the lion came, I dealt with him. So don't give me the armor. God's got my back. I haven't tested out this armor. I appreciate the armor, but I have not worked with it before. And this is prime time. I'm getting ready to slay the giant of my life. Don't give me something I've not tested. I want to say to the church, don't wait for trouble to start to pray. Do not wait for trouble to then begin praying. Start wielding the weapon of prayer now. Store up prayer now. So that when the evil day comes, you're going to be fit for battle. You're going to be ready. You're going to be conditioned. David was conditioned in the field. So when he got before the giant, he was able to bring him down to size. Too often we wait for trouble to then get fit. You know how it works? You don't want to exercise. But the moment you go to the doctor and he says you have a heart problem, all of a sudden you're eating string beans and carrots and you're only eating steamed fish. Before you're frying fish and you're frying chicken, psh, fries. But the moment Mr. D, doctor, ma'am, yes ma'am, no. Listen, my mom ended up in the hospital this week, and if you see how nice she's speaking to the doctors, doc. Yes, doc, God, Jesus loves you, God bless you. We all respect doctors. We love doctors. Because you know what? Doctors have our lives in their hand. But we take for granted that our lives are in the hands of the Master. And that is the best hands. We are well
kept. Amen?
Yes. So, respect authority. On the road to slaying your giants, you will have to understand how authority works, and you must humble yourself. Whenever you're in the room with great men and great women, show honor. When the owner of your company comes in, show honor. They may be cutting your pay, still show honor. Amen? Because what? God sees and nothing goes unnoticed. In due time, he says, humble yourself in the sight of God and he will lift you up. Amen? So David goes and he says, I'm going to deal with this. And then it continues. Let's go to verse 40. Then he took his staff, so now he's going out to battle, in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag. You see, he took what was known to him. He took his staff. He went with what he was accustomed to. He didn't take the armor. And what he did, picked up some stones, went by the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. David was accustomed to that. His brother did that to him. So it was nothing new. Amen? For he was only a youth. What was he? Now, he was a youth. But Goliath was a warrior from his youth. So youth and youth was meeting everybody. Youth from experience and somebody who seemed raw. Then the word of God says, Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Do not be timid, but be valiant. Amen? You might be new in a sector, but if God has anointed you for it, go in there and do the best. Don't worry who looks down on you. Now there is a balance you have to understand. You still honor, but you can be great at a young age. You understand that? Because God sees your heart. All right. He disdained him. He was a youth. He was ruddy and good looking. So that ruddy doesn't mean that he was like burnt or anything. It's just he had a nice brown tan complexion. Right? He was like brown and handsome. Good looking. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says David was a good looking man. So if you're good looking, tap yourself on the shoulder. Everybody tap yourself on the shoulder. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. And I will give your flesh to the bird of the air and the beast of the field. You see, that's how giants are in your life. They feel like they're gonna win. And the way they taunt you is like you will never get out of this. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you, what? In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And then he tells him, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine, not only the giant. The giant comes in, but everybody that follows him is going down. So whatever the enemy brings with him, whoever decides to align themselves with the purposes of the enemy, they better get ready because they are going down. So don't be afraid when armies come up against you, because they're not just coming up against you. They're coming up against the God that is in you. Because greater is he that is in you. And we know the end of the story. Mighty God. So it was when the Philistine arose, 48, and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran. We saw him started running when his dad spoke to him, and here we see him running to take care of business yet again. Ran towards the army and met the Philistine, and David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and he slung it. What he did? Slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David what? Prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. So David took his sword and cut off his own head. What was meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. What was meant for your demise, God will turn it around for your promotion and for your elevation. From this point here now, David's life changed. From this point, his life changes. Because right after this, he was then called to serve Saul. He served Saul. Then eventually they found out that he can fight again. He didn't go into the army right away. He went back to the sheep. But he was still on the path to glory. We must remember, there are steps to getting to our destiny with God. But we must be obedient. We must be willing to serve. We must humble ourselves. There comes a time when the giant will come down. Face the giant. Do not be afraid. What he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And he said, only, verse 9, be strong and very courageous. God has not called us to be weak, because they that know their God, they are strong. Let us all stand. Hallelujah.